This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 10th, episode 1059. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Santa, what's shaking, man? Dancing through the snow.
By the way, congratulate me this Christmas. I'm going for it. No antidepressants.
Somebody ought to teach that little humbug some Christmas spirit.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Well, good holiday spirit to everyone. Are you guys getting in the spirit, Glenn? Have you done any Christmas shopping yet?
No, but we did record Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer last night because it played last night. Do you know this is the 50th anniversary of Rudolph?
Are you serious? Well,
yeah.
You would never guess by watching it looks that old. Ha! It's like Pixar. Amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is. But you know what? You can still watch it, and the story's still good. Maybe Luke will be watching it in no time.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, he'd probably watch it now, but he's currently just watches the movie Frozen, which of course every child watches and loves, and he also likes Despicable Me. Anything with minions, Glenn. He's just like you.
I love him. He has good taste, unlike his mother. He has great taste.
He does. He does.
But well, you like
very much
Minions.
For that.
You don't. You're not a Minion hater.
Oh my gosh, I love them. I think they're awesome. So those are movies we've downloaded for him because I find them tolerable. That and Tangled. So anything with the choruses, or anything with good songs, I'll let him watch. But there's no Barney in our house. There's just Yo Gabba Gabba. That's still his favorite. But, you know, whatever. So I was actually going to talk to you guys real quick about this thing that's going on over on eventingnation.com. And it was somebody was posted some nightmare stories about an event horse that was hauled and using a bad shipper. And so it begged the question of, like, all these different companies that go on to like, ship horses that have no DOT numbers, no insurance, just random people are like, yeah, I'm a shipper. And I actually had a bad experience with a company called uship.com, which was when I was moving out to Arizona, my warm blood, I found a shipper on there and I didn't know what I was doing. And I hired them and, oh, they just quit calling me back. And I paid like, you know, the $1,000 or whatever to have them shipped. And thank God I used my credit card because they wouldn't call me back. Finally, I got a hold of somebody. They're like, yeah, we went out of business. I was like, so I would like my money back? Oh, no, we don't have it. We went out of business and like hung up on me. So that was uShip. So I always say don't use that company. It's ridiculous. But there's a Facebook page called Horse Transporter Reviews, which is really good to go on and look at. But there's also a Facebook page called Hitch Your Horse a Ride. Please don't do that.
Oh, it's no. Kind of like what's that? What's the city thing now? Uber. It's kind of like Uber for
horses. Are you going to let some random person that's like, yeah, I'm driving across the country. Sure, I'll take your horse. Really? You guys are crazy. So I was talking to Jennifer earlier about, you know, just use the big companies, the good companies like Equine Express. I didn't pay for a box stall, but they were like, hey, we had it. So we put your horse in this giant box stall and hauled him across the country. And I had another really bad experience with an actual, like, shipping company that was here, you know, with the Duke. We've talked about that, but it was awful. That company has now gone out of business because a bunch of horses died in their trailer. So that was a terrible company outside of Phoenix. But anyway, Jennifer, you said that you've talked to one of the biggest shipping companies.
Well, a while back when we moved here to Florida, we used Sally Horse Transportation to bring Beaker down because we weren't going to try to drive him down in our little itty-bitty trailer. And, of course, the whole thing was seamless. It worked beautifully. But the owner of Sally Horse Vans did a couple of interviews with us for the shows, and I posted that up on the Facebook page underneath of your post about the bad experiences that those other folks had. And one of the things that she kept reiterating over and over and over is do your research on the company. Anybody can haul a horse around, but a company who takes the time to navigate the Department of Transportation maze and get all their paperwork straight is generally at least going to have reasonable business practices. And of course, whether or not they have good horse practices is another thing altogether. But the Department of Transportation is not user-friendly. So it takes a lot of effort to get all. So if you absolutely positively can't afford to go with a large company shipper and need to go with somebody regional, at least take the time to do a background check, check and make sure their paperwork is in order, et cetera, because unfortunately these kinds of stories happen all too often. And I've seen many a horse come off of one of these regional carriers who's a little bit less than forthright, or maybe they're really tight on money or time, and those horses look like hell when they come off of there. So,
well, my God, Duke, when he got here, you know, I bought him from a listener and had him shipped down, and I, you know, that horse, I was like, I mean, he was sick. He had like shipping fever. It was so bad. They told me I hired them because they were the one company who told me we will drive him straight from that place to your place. We're outside of Phoenix, but it would take 12 hours. That's how far it was. I was like, perfect. So I hired them. 36 hours later, I get the horse. He hasn't been taken off. He didn't get any rest. They never stopped. They drove all the way through Texas, brought him back. He had green buckets of snot coming out his nose. They hadn't watered or fed anybody. They had miniature horses in the dressing room, like three of them. It was a total nightmare. So, like I said, I'm trying to remember the name of that company, but I guess they went out of business because, like, they had been driving so much they flipped their trailer, and it was just awful. So, anyway, do your research, but I would just say from now on, just use the big companies. I'm sorry, small business people.
Do you remember us telling you the story of when we were back in, when we had our farm, there was good friends of ours still. They moved their horse. They moved to North Carolina, and they wanted to move their horse down. So she hired a regional company out of North Carolina that happened to be coming up to Pennsylvania. So when this lady pulls in, it was a big tractor trailer rig, right? When she pulls into our driveway, the local county police are behind her. And he proceeds for an hour to go over everything with her, and then he came over and talked to me and said, she has so many violations. Nothing is registered. The trailer wasn't registered. The truck wasn't registered. The same company as the trailer. Just nothing matched. And this lady looked really nervous, like she wanted to get the hell out of there. So he gave her all these tickets, right, for like, it was like $600-$700 worth. And and then she took the horse and went home. We found out about 2 months later that the place had been shut down in a drug bust. They raided the place, and they found drugs underneath the floors of all the trailers.
Oh, my God!
They were
transporting
drugs underneath the floors of the trailers. They had these compartments, and that's where they were transporting the drugs. No wonder she was looking nervous when the police were there.
So she did not send her horse with this lady, right?
Oh, yeah, the horse went home. It did get there. It did get there, yeah, with this lady. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I would have been like, get off my property, you crook. I remember the name. It was Triple AC Ranch in Tonopah, Arizona is the name of the company that almost killed my horse. So, just use your brain. You know, use your brain. Your horse is worth it.
An easy way to find the larger national companies, by the way, because their web presence is not necessarily easy to come by. It's not their specialty. They haul horses for a living. If you look for horse haulers in locations with extremely dense horse populations, like Lexington, Kentucky, Ocala, Saratoga, New York, Wellington, use that location when you search horse transport on your search bar, and you're going to come up with the national companies. And that's the best place to start, even if you end up working your way down to a more regional one. You're probably going to be able to get recommendations from people who really know. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Or just email us and we'll tell you, don't use them. Or yeah, yeah, go for it. We'd be happy to help. All right, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show? Sorry, it took forever.
On today's Wednesday, can it please be closer to Saturday than it is right now? Let's eliminate Thursday. The velvet voice of Horse and Country TV hits the headlines from across the pond. And then Rutgers Equine Science Center helps us with the oldies. And in betwixt, Glenn and Jamie route through a thicket of horsey headlines. Stay tuned for the thorny encounters.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, apparently we continue with birthday time here in December with all of our listeners, so I have a couple of more today. A happy birthday to our Manhattan listener, Ellen Ferranti. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Ellen. And Susan Nelson, happy birthday to you, Susan. We appreciate you guys listening.
I'm telling you, all these.
Valentine birthdays or babies, that's what you're saying?
Bound chicka wow wow. I'm telling you, it's happening. You can thank Valentine's Day, the fact that you're alive. My daily Winnie goes out to the connections of Wise Dan. I'm so excited. They are saying Wise Dan is recovering incredibly well, and the season is ending, and they're just going to let him chill. They're walking him around the shed row, and they're saying that he looks really good and that he might be back next year. Are you flipping kidding me? Colic surgery and a broken leg. But you know what? I mean, obviously, they're not going to do anything to put him in jeopardy. And, you know, all sorts of people on the web are like, you need to retire him. And those are the same people that are like, why do people retire the horses so quickly? You know, like, let him run. So, you know, they're going to do the right thing. Do you know they have him like, a daily routine for him is they tack walk him. So basically you tack him up, get on him, walk him around. He gets turned out in the round pen, and they have a vibration plate. Do you know what that is?
Yes, I've seen them actually, and it's just what it says it is.
It's just like a, is it like a, how big is it?
You stand on it, it vibrates. Yeah, it moves around a little bit, so it just gives them some movement, but not too much. It's a vibration. It is exactly what you'd think it would be. That's exactly what it
says. That's awesome. Well, he's been doing that, and he's been hanging out in Lexington, and he's going to come back to the track potentially in February to prepare to race in the spring. It's so great. Obviously, if anything else happens or goes wrong, hopefully his career will be at Old Friends giving saying hello to everybody. But I think it's really cool. I'm glad they're going to do it.
Well, one thing quick here before we get to our first guest, Victoria, is that David Saunders did his duty yesterday as the driver of Prince Charming and Cinderella in the pumpkin coach at Magic Kingdom. They were filming the parade that they always do on Christmas morning. You know, ABC always has the parade on Christmas morning. Well, they were filming that yesterday at Magic Kingdom. And it was a beautiful day here, by the way. It was absolutely clear. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was about 55, 60 degrees. So it was a beautiful day. And I posted pictures on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page and over in the Driving Radio Show Facebook page. David posted some pictures as well. And he looked really good. He was smiling and having fun. It looked like driving Gloria Austin's beautiful Spanish horses down Main Street, and it looked really cool. He said that coach, I mean, it looks heavy. He said it weighs 2 tons. It's a very heavy coach. They flew it here from Europe on a plane because they had to get it here for the parade. So, weighs 2 tons.
Wow. That shipping fee is a lot.
Yeah. We know what it costs to ship a 5-pound box.
I know, right? I feel sorry for Redmond Rocks. You know, I mean, hey, this is
exactly. Yeah, so it was really cool. I think everything went well. I didn't see any reports otherwise. I haven't had a chance to talk to David yet, but we'll get a chance to talk to him here soon and find out how everything went. He will be driving in both parades, both Christmas parades, at Magic Kingdom here in Florida, starting the 21st of December through January 5th. He'll be in both, leading both parades with Cinderella and Prince Charming. I think they're at 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock at Magic Kingdom. So if you want to see him, that's when you can do it. And he looked really spiffy in his little outfit.
I was just wondering if they say, like, during the parade, oh, by the way, it's driven by former coachman for the Queen. Or do they just,
no.
Is he just, I mean.
I don't think
cause
so.
That's kind of cool, you know?
That is kind of cool. He looked, and he was smiling. I mean, he said he was never, ever allowed to smile in the royal parades for the weddings and stuff. He said one of the rules was you weren't to wave and you weren't to smile. And here he's smiling away. So they encouraged him to wave and smile. So this is the first time, he said, I've ever been in a parade where I could smile and wave.
That's amazing.
So, he drives with one hand, too. So he has all of those horses. He drives with one hand with them woven. The reins are all woven between his fingers. I tried it. It's very difficult.
One can't stand still with the reins in one hand.
No, I can't. With my pony, I can't drive with one hand. It's called the Achenbach method, and it's one hand. I don't know. I can't do it. All right, let's do this.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And it's that time of the week when we welcome Victoria Spicer, the lovely Victoria, all the way from England. Merry Christmas, Victoria. Are you there, Victoria? Let's try again. Are you there, Victoria? Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
How's things in England? Is it snowy? Do you get snow ever on Christmas?
Yeah, we do quite often, and I think the odds for it happening this year are quite short. The country's kind of split in two at the moment because there's a big storm going on, and in Scotland, where I'm originally from, everybody is getting hit by really bad winds, and it's freezing cold, and they've had the first snow, whereas today it's beautiful, it's like 10 degrees, it's quite mild, and it's one of those really pretty winter days, and the sky is incredibly blue, so I'm quite glad that I moved down south.
Now, do you live in London proper?
No, I live in Epsom, which is next to, is where they have the Derby, or the Derby, as you'd call it, and so I live right next to the racecourse, so you can see London, and it takes about half an hour to get into the centre of town, but I'm surrounded by fields, which is nice.
Well, now, Victoria, after watching House Hunters International and they're going to London all the time, I don't know how anybody lives there because you'll pay $2,000 a month for what looks like you could fit maybe a couch.
It is a bit like that the closer you go, but there's lots of places just outside the centre that you can get nice houses for less money. But, yeah, capital is ridiculous and expensive. Everyone wants to live there, but then moans about it when they do live here.
Well, you would have to have roommates, wouldn't you, if you were trying to live in the city?
Yeah, like most people do. Have flatmates and things like that when you're young. So, it's not the easiest place to get on the property ladder.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, we were talking before the show started about how there's one person in the horse world that everybody agrees on, you don't see any hate for, you don't see any negative comments ever for, and that's Charlotte Desjardins. And am I right about that, or is it just over here we have that perception?
No, I think she is generally a really, really popular girl. She's incredibly down to earth, and she has got lots of time for people, and she's got a kind of legion of little girls who adore her and want to be her, and she's really good with them and takes the time to kind of pose for pictures and chat to them. So, yeah, I think you're right. Nobody has anything bad to say about Charlotte.
Well, of course, she's a dressage superstar. I mean, we're talking Olympics, World Equestrian Games, you know, she just won everything. And she just won an award, the BT Sport Action Women Award over there in England, right?
Yeah, she did. So in the last couple of weeks, she's won the Sky Sports Sportswoman of the Year award. And now last night, she won the BT Sport Award. And this Sunday, we've got an even bigger one, which is the BBC Sports Personality of the Year award. And we hardly ever get riders nominated, let alone, you know, being in with a chance of doing well. And the last we had a jockey win in 2010. And then the last person to win for that was Zara Phillips. After she'd won the world championship in eventing. And I'm just really hoping that the horse world once again gets behind her. And people say that, you know, Zara Phillips' connection is what got her to win Sports Personality. But I think it's just the horse world. We tend to be very protective of our riders. And if we've got a chance of keeping up with the other kind of more mainstream sports, I think we're going to go all out to make sure that we get a mention.
Well, you want to hear, I actually have the audio of her acceptance speech from the BT Sport Action Women's Award Ceremony. It's very short. It's the way we like acceptance speeches. You want to take a listen?
Definitely.
And it gives me great pleasure to announce that the 2014 BT Sport Action Women of the Year Award is Charlotte Desjardins!
We got a lot of applause here.
Many congratulations, Charlotte. The trophy is incredibly heavy, but you'll be fine with that. Do you want to say a few words?
I'd love to say a few words. I'd love to thank everybody that's voted for me. And everybody, when you said, think of a few words to say, I was thinking, oh, well, I won't have to worry about that. And then the time has come. But I would absolutely love to thank my whole team behind me. And without them, this really wouldn't have happened. And obviously, I'd love to thank my dance partner, Allegro. So thank you very much.
That was it.
She's great. And she's so modest, you know, saying, oh, I didn't think I'd have anything, I'd have to say anything. You know, that is just typical Charlotte. She just gets on with it. And when she wins, she's quite happy, but she's not smug or egotistical. And if I was the best in the world, I'd go around telling everybody I was number one in the world. And doesn't, and she's always really quick to, you know, thank Allegro or thank Carl for all the support he's given. And yeah, she's just a really nice girl. And we have to win this award on Sunday. We have to beat the Formula One star and the golfer that are the favourites to win. I think on some website, Charlotte, 1,000-1 to win. And I just don't believe that. I think we have to make sure she wins.
She's like the Jennifer Lawrence of the dressage world. We're just, everybody
yeah.
likes her. She's kind of real, you know. She does it. I don't know if you know who Jennifer Lawrence is. Obviously, Captain. Okay. but anyway, I just said that's who she reminds me of exactly. Especially listening to that. If she tripped on the way up to accept the award, that would only be more like her.
Exactly. I think that's a good comparison, Jennifer Lawrence of dressage world.
And she dresses up well. I saw the video. She had a very sparkly, beautiful dress on, so she looks good, too.
yeah.
Like Jennifer Lawrence always does. Well, there's also new stars into the Hall of Fame for the British, the BHS. What's that?
The British Horse Society, which is one of our kind of big major kind of charities, and they're kind of, they used to be in charge of all the different sports, but now they're kind of a separate entity. But anyway, they have a Hall of Fame gallery, which is in central London, actually. And every year they add new people and new horses into the Hall of Fame. So there's been a few new people. We now have a husband and wife people combination that are both in the Hall of Fame, with William Funnell joining wife Pippa. So I'm sure he's pleased to be in there along with his other half.
I know Pippa, you know, obviously rides eventing. What's William do?
He is a show jumper. He was on our European Championship team. He's won the Hickstead Derby 3 times. He's been around for years and years. And if he wasn't married to Pippa, you know, he'd be incredibly famous in his own right, but he tends to often be referred to as Pippa Funnel's husband.
And, yeah, well, see, I didn't even know.
he's been very, very successful in his own right. And actually, nowadays, Pippa rides a lot of his show jumpers, and they breed horses together, and they tend to show jump them. And if they tend to be amazing show jumpers, they'll go to William. And if they're not, then Pippa will compete them, and they might be sold or they go off to be eventers. So you quite often see Pippa show jumping at quite a decent level as well.
Huh. Interesting.
So there you go. And the other combination in there is Jane Holdenish Rodham, and she is a sister, and I'm going to completely forget who she's the sister of. She is the sister of a very famous dressage rider, so I'm sure she's glad to be in there as well after having her sister being in for so long. So she's been added, and she of course is one of the first ladies to compete at four star eventing, and she won badminton in Burley, so it's great to see her in there as well.
And I see two horses were nominated or were inducted as well. One of them that we just heard, the name Vlegro, Charlotte Dancer. Yeah.
Indeed. And the other one was Big Star, who was by far the most successful horse, I think, at London 2012. He jumped the most clear rounds in the show jumping and was very unlucky not to win an individual medal. And he just had one fence down in the whole competition. So he's a complete star, and he's injured at the moment, but we hope to see him back soon.
Is that Nick Skelton's horse?
It is indeed. He is a big horse. I've met him in the flesh. And Nick Skelton is 5'6", so he's not massive. And Big Star is just huge. And we were doing a photo shoot out on the lawn at Nick's house, and Big Star got a bit bored by this and started leaping around. I was slightly terrified that he was going to land on Nick Skelton, and it would all be our fault.
Now, I did see, too, a couple of weeks ago when it first came out, we talked about your video that was put together by horseandcountry.tv that was your little Christmas holiday video, and it was the one with the little Shetland ponies, and we had talked about it then, but this thing has gone viral.
It has. It's had nearly 750,000 views, which is just incredible when you think about it. And it's been shared thousands and thousands of times on Facebook and YouTube and on our website. So we're just really chuffed with it. And really excitingly, we've got Olympia Horse Show coming up next week, which is our big end of season Christmas show. It's one of the best of the year, and we absolutely love going. And at this year's show, we're giving away a cuddly toy version of Albert and Ernie, and they're so cute. I really want to win them, but I'm not allowed to enter. So we'll look out for them on Facebook, because we'll be sharing pictures of them soon. But they are just like the spitting image of the ponies, but they're less likely to kind of run into your house when you're not looking. So they're really cute. But yeah, we can't believe how popular it's been.
Now, these two little Shetlands, obviously they were trained, because they do things in the commercial. I mean, pretty much they do the whole commercial themselves. So are these TV ponies, or were these just ponies that you found, or are they one of the employees? What was the deal?
They actually are owned by a lady called Emma Massengill, who is she's a really interesting lady, and she does lots of free riding, so she'll have a team of horses, and she will be sitting on one and controlling them all, but will have no bridles or ropes or anything. She'll just be sitting on them loose. And her top horse is a stallion, who, if you click on that video, you'll see there's one about a horse galloping loose along the beach, and that's one of her horses. And so she does this trick where she's riding him, and she has all these other horses in descending height going down to her little Shetland ponies. So we'd known her for quite a while, and we're making a documentary, we've made one, which is premiering over Christmas, called Emma Massengill, No Limits. And so we'd worked with her before, and we knew about these Shetlands, and I think we knew how popular they would be. So, she's fascinating. So if you ever want a guest to talk about riding loose along a beach with no bridles, she is your lady.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, and of course, it's horseandcountry.tv is the website. Victoria joins us here once a week, and we really appreciate that. We hope to see you next week. Now, that'll be our last time we can have you on for the year, so we hope to see you next week. Maybe we'll talk about holidays in England.
Well, I will be on my way to heading to Olympia Horse Show, so you will catch me just before the show begins. I'm sure I'll be full of Olympia mania next week.
Sounds terrific. Well, thank you, Victoria.
My pleasure. Speak to you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
Well, that is Victoria Spicer, of course, Horse and Country TV. And right now we have to mention our good friends over at Equestrian Collections. It is not too late to get your holiday shopping done, and the place to do it is the place that has the whole universe of equestrian shopping in one spot, and that's EquestrianCollections.com.
It better not be too late, Glenn, because just yesterday, Chad's like, What do you want? Any horse stuff? Like, what do you want? And I'm like, I got everything. Yeah, exactly. And I was trying to be cool. I was like, I'm fine. And I was like, except for that brow band that's on Equestrian Collections, red, white, and blue. And I want the brown one for my cross country bridle. And by the way, I've got this. And went over all the highlighted products that we did on that Black Friday show. And he's like, I kind of overwhelmed him. And he's like, so I'll be back in a couple minutes. And he just left. So I'm pretty sure he went to order from Equestrian Collection. So I hope it's not too late. I think you got plenty of time to get it to you before Christmas.
Well, and they have tons of stuff on. If you just go to their homepage, you're going to see all the gifts for him. You can actually buy him gifts there. Now, I don't know if he's going to appreciate them, but you can buy him gifts there, gifts for her, your horse, kids. Whatever it is, you can find gifts there at EquestrianCollections.com. They have free shipping on all orders over $200, which obviously this time of year is not too hard to do. But if you also need a winter blanket, if you need a winter coat, boots, whatever it is that you need, they have it. They have a ton of different products there, and they make it very easy to shop. So head on over to EquestrianCollections.com. We want to thank them, too. They have been supporting us here at the Horse Radio Network for over 6 years now. They have been with us. We've been through 6 Christmases with them, and we really appreciate that. If you missed it, go back to earlier in the month. We did a special holiday gift buying episode with them in November, actually. You can go back and take a listen to that. That's the one Jamie's talking about where she had the ideas from. So Equestrian Collections.
I'm right now actually on Equestrian Collections right now looking for the toddler size riding pants breeches. Oh, my God. Do they make those?
Don't embarrass the poor child. You're going to make that little boy wear riding breeches?
I need baby breeches and some baby boots. Oh, my God, he's so cute. He can't sit on a horse, but
it's time for the horse
he can dress like
horse health report.
He can look like it.
When our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
That's right. It is that time of the day and the time of the week. And we've got Dr. Malinowski on the phone. Good morning, doctor.
Hey, Jamie and Glenn. How are you? Happy holidays.
Thanks. You happy holidays to you, too. We absolutely love having you on. And you're so interesting to listen to and to talk to. And I know that we're talking about something that's pretty darn close to your heart today.
Yes, we are, Jamie. Matter of fact, I was just waiting to get on talking to Jennifer that, other than all of the work of studying aging, the aging process in horses here at Rutgers University, personally, I also still take care. I'm the caretaker of Lord Nelson, who was the horse that was on the mounted patrol here for over 20 years, and he's now 41 years of age. And he's starting, Glenn, to unfortunately show dramatically the signs of his age. And, we're keeping our fingers crossed. He's still bright as a penny. He's still galloping up the field, but he's starting to show his age.
I am, too. So you just bring him over and we'll hang out together, all right?
Well, I'll tell you, he might appreciate the warm weather, and I'm worried about the ice this year and snow and that sort of thing, and keeping him warm and keeping his body weight up and all of those good things. But not only are we studying what's going on in these wonderful animals, Glenn and Jamie, we're also we're practicing what we preach. I mean, we're trying to we've kept him going. He was still riding, actively exercising at 39 years of age, and so 2 years later now, he's showing all the signs of old age.
It's just
like
not
me.
Quite fair. It's just not quite fair that they don't live as long as us. Our horse partners and our cat and dog partners, just not quite fair. It's tough to see them go through that. Now, what we're going to talk about today is how to comfortably make them last until they're 41 years old. So starting with, I always found that the older horses, I have a soft spot in my heart, Dr. Malinowski, for the senior equines. And, one of the things that I think is the biggest problem is keeping weight on them. Let's start with that.
Yep. And of course, Jamie, it's important because, 20% about of our total equine population in the world now are older horses. And so they are, a very important a group of horses that we need to be talking about and look at. And I think one thing that we don't want to forget is scientists studying aging in horses, that 20 is the age that we've chosen to say that we're starting to really see physiological changes due to aging after the age of 20. So if your horse is in its late teens, it's a mere teenager, and don't change anything. But getting back to your question, Jamie, keeping weight on these horses, I think, good quality hay and forage is always paramount. Typical things such as dental checkups, and deworming programs. I think our horses are living longer now because of our parasite control that, when ivermectin came out decades ago, that gave the older horse a boost. And also, of course, our senior feeds, which tend to be higher in fat, not as high in starch, pelleted formulas, that are easier to eat, horses that don't have proper dentition. You can make, pea soups out of them, make some gruel that the horse can then slurp down. So as they get older, Jamie and Glenn, they don't absorb, the digestive tract changes, they don't absorb nutrients as well as they can. And again, in Lord Nelson's case, it wasn't until he turned 40 that he started to show the signs of not being able to retain that weight. But again, keep the basics, at least a 12% protein in that ration, high quality hay. People are afraid to feed alfalfa and grass mixed hays to horses in general, let alone older horses. But older horses can do very well on, a high protein hay, like a good alfalfa grass mix. And if you really do get into trouble, up to a cup of oil a day, corn oil. People are feeding rice bran oil now, flaxseed oil. So there are a variety of feed companies now making oil mixtures for older horses. But again, corn oil that you can buy on sale at your supermarket certainly is a good place to start. It keeps the shine on them, and it also adds calories.
On the oil, before you go on,
go ahead.
On the oil thing, is there an oil that's bad for them? Like, we were looking up, I had this whole jug of peanut oil I didn't use when I was doing frying, and I didn't know if peanut oil was bad for them. Is there an oil that's bad for horses?
It wouldn't be, Glenn. The answer is no, but I worry about oils, just as you not using it, frying with it. It goes rancid very quickly.
Okay.
And so, horses might find an off taste. Pure vegetable oil may not be as attractive to them as a corn oil is. So, again, a key is not only to feed them the oil, but to make sure that you store it properly, especially, in Florida all year round. You don't want to leave it out in the sun in 90-degree heat because it's going to go bad and get off taste very, very quickly, and then they won't eat it.
Now, you mentioned, I think last time you were on, was soybean oil. Is that one that you would recommend?
Soybean oil certainly could be. Soybean meal, is an excellent protein for horses, a protein supplement as well as a fat. But it's very expensive, Jamie. And so if you're just looking at it for calories, stick with the basics. Stick with corn oil, even the flaxseed oil, rice bran oil. I bought a jug of it a couple of weeks ago, and it was $30, for a half gallon. So that's very, very expensive. Woo. Where where, you know, your supermarket corn oil for a gallon, you might be able to get it for $7. So if you're
just looking for calories,
stay with corn oil.
Okay, so I just wanted to let our listeners know that if you are a Costco member, all of these things are much more discounted at the Costco, because I went and bought a ton of corn oil, and now I've moved to the soybean oil, and it's a great deal, great price at Costco. So anyway, just a little heads up. So it's funny you mentioned this, because I have a 20-year-old that is in my backyard. And I just now, he's at the end of his 20th year, and I just now noticed that he's just not quite as thrifty as he normally is. And it's perfect timing that you're on. So is this the time where you would recommend, because he's on just a Purina strategy, that we move him to a senior feed?
Absolutely, Jamie. That's a great question. And Mac, actually, I have a former racehorse who just turned 21, and we're going to be doing the same thing. So unlike Lord Nelson, who at 30 showed no signs of losing body weight or muscle condition and that sort of thing, this horse is starting. It takes a lot more feed of strategy in particular to keep his weight on. And so we will be moving him at a much earlier age to a senior feed. Again, going from just a mixed grass hay, he's now on an alfalfa grass mix, and he's also getting his oil. So those are changes that we made with this 21-year-old, and he is being exercised at least twice a week, and so he is doing a much better job at maintaining his weight now.
Do you like beet pulp for the older horses, soaked beet pulp?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. That also, you know, to add fiber, and it would be great for these older horses.
All right. So feeding wise, it seems like the feed companies have got it pretty well spelled out. So moving on, you mentioned exercise. Is this something you go?
You know, it's great that we just are having this talk today, because a group of us from around the world who are interested in older horses, I just had a lovely week in Virginia 2 weeks ago at the second Havemeyer Foundation workshop on geriatric horses. And one thing, a message that came through loud and clear throughout the 3-4 days of the conference, was that exercise is a fabulous thing for old horses. A lot of the work that we've done, Jamie and Glenn, here in the aging process and studying the aging process as horses, has looked at the effects of exercise. And so something that you can all relate to in the older horse, insulin resistance, you know, or as we say in humans, you know, diabetic state. The older horse does become less sensitive to insulin. And we have shown here in our labs repeatedly that with regular exercise conditioning, that being 3 days a week on an equisizer for about 30 minutes at 60% VO2 max, we can increase insulin sensitivity. And so training is a fabulous thing for horses. Again, if they're prone to a bit of arthritis, getting them to move these joints instead of standing in a stall is absolutely a wonderful thing to do. And exercise, for their mental state, it gives them a job. All horses do like a job. And so while we start to see a decrease in insulin sensitivity with old age, you also, and we've shown this repeatedly, see a decrease in the adrenals' ability to respond with an increase in cortisol, which is the glucocorticoid, the primary one coming out of the adrenal gland in response to things, stress, to things like exercise. But cortisol is extremely important, guys, because it does serve as an anti-inflammatory agent, and so if animals are prone to inflammation anyway, you want some cortisol there to reduce that inflammation. And also, it's responsible for mobilizing glycogen stores, so it's producing glucose, you know, from taking glycogen from the liver, producing glucose, and getting that glucose back to the muscle. So this is important. So one thing we recommend is, while we've seen some changes in the older horses over 20 with exercise, in both cortisol levels and also insulin and glucose levels after exercise, they never get back to what they were when they were a younger animal. And so in exercising your older horse, certainly take thought that it takes them longer to recover afterwards. And something that Dr. McKeever also said to you folks, I believe, two sessions ago, was that these older horses don't thermoregulate. Their cardiovascular function is not what it was when they were they were younger. And so if you are exercising an older horse, especially in Florida, don't take it out in the bright sunshine when it's 90 degrees and 90% humidity. You know, wait until the evening, wait till the early morning before you actually exercise these horses. And,
that,
you know,
makes sense.
I mean, exercise is just wonderful. No. And, you know, to get a little more scientific and maybe time for another show is something that we've recently, which we presented at the Havemeyer, was the role of heat shock proteins, a new class of proteins that actually are involved in cellular repair and homeostasis. They have been shown to also be involved in insulin signaling. And so we've shown here at Rutgers in the older horse that, yes, exercise can increase heat shock proteins in the older horse as well as the younger horse. And this may down the road, guys, be a way of being able to manipulate the horse's system so that you actually can make the horse more insulin sensitive. So exercising older horses, if you can, it's a wonderful thing. You know, if they need a gram of butte or something after a major exercise session or before, you know, use it as an anti-inflammatory agent. And, you know, let them go literally at their own pace. You don't want to go crazy with an older horse, but they'll let you know when they're tired.
Now, you mentioned the fact that they have trouble thermoregulating. Is that something, too, that can happen? Like, on the flip side of that, do they get... A horse that, like, I had my 20-year-old outback is very tough and he's never wanted a blanket, but should I start to think about maybe keeping an eye on him getting overly cold?
Yes, Jamie. Lord Nelson still does not wear a blanket, but I'm concerned about him this year. Now, he is in a shed, a three-way shed, with a companion, so they huddle up for warmth. And, of course, he's watched every day. If the animal starts to shiver, certainly you would want to blanket that animal. But for now, in Florida, I doubt that your older horse is going to need to be blanketed because it's cold. Maybe you'll feel better having a blanket on it. But
Dr. Malinowski, I want to point out that my co-host Glenn lives in Florida, but I am in the very freezing cold climate of Phoenix, Arizona. So it's really tough living out here.
I'm mad at you both. I think I need a road trip to see either one of you. I'll let you know, Jamie, when I'm on the plane.
Okay, come on out, girl. Bring Lord Nelson with you.
I don't think you'd make that trip.
Hey, we got down to 36 last night here in Ocala. It's chilly.
Oh,
whoop-dee-doo.
I've had to clip my horses because it is
still 34. It's 34 right now. It's not supposed to happen in Florida, but... My pony out there, he needs a winter blanket, like 300 fill, I think.
No, he's got a long coat. It's what nature gave him, and I'm telling you, they grow a darn good coat.
Hey, don't be agreeing with my wife now, Dr. Malinowski, because I wanted to put a sheet on him last night, and she wouldn't let me.
You're just too lazy to brush him tomorrow. The truth is coming out. No,
yep.
Guys, he'll tell you when he's cold.
Yeah. He was looking at me and looking all cold.
Poor thing.
I hear that crack in the whip.
Yeah. Obviously, things change a little bit when you clip them, Glenn. So I think you're completely within your rights. It's a freezing cold 52 degrees here, and it was hard for me not to blanket last night.
Oh, my goodness.
I have to put up with this every day.
It's okay, guys. It's okay. But, yeah, you know, I mean, go ahead, Glenn.
before we have to wrap, and we'll have to wrap here pretty soon, I just want to ask a question because it's something that's come up on the show before, and I don't want to bring the show down here, but it's an important question that everybody deals with at some time with their horses, and I've gone through it several times, and we've had this discussion just recently about dogs and cats. How do you know with your senior horse that it's time? And, you know, we had a friend of ours, and it's been so true with our dogs, that she told us, you don't worry about that. They will tell you when it's time. And it has happened with every dog we've had. The dog has come around the corner or stood up one day and looked at me and said, okay, I just knew it was time. How do you know with your horses that it's time? I think some of us let it go too long sometimes.
It's a great question, Glenn. And actually, at our annual stakeholder meeting this year, this issue came up. And to that end, we are asking, we got the NOMS, you know, the National Animal Health Information Monitoring System, the new survey that's coming out in 2015, three questions to horse owners will be about this topic. And I think a person that you should have on your show would be Dr. Carolyn Stull from the University of California, Davis. Carolyn, as a matter of fact, I reached out to her the other day to ask her to send me a PowerPoint presentation and a couple of other things that we could post on our website to share with horse owners around, you know, around the world about this question. And we also talked about it at Havemeyer. And I agree that the horse will tell you when. I think a good relationship with your veterinarian is paramount. And I'll use Lord Nelson as a case. So he's losing his body weight. He does have arthritis in all four legs. He is eating everything in sight. He is talking. He's coherent. He's clear-minded. But if it gets to the point where, you know, he's no longer lying down, if he's no longer able to come out of his shed, then I certainly will know. I mean, it's a quality of life issue, Jamie and Glenn, just as it is for us, that, you know, it's fortunate that we have the opportunity to be able to end a life of an animal that we love when we think it is time. You know, certainly it's easy if the animal is diseased, you know, if it's getting recurrent infections and that sort of thing, or if it's not doing
lame
well at all.
Things, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And there is a piece also that I probably will post after this on our website that a colleague from Havemeyer from Britain sent me. There are five questions that you ask yourself, and I'm drawing a blank.
Oh,
the paper is not in front of me right now, but we will post that on our website, you know, along with this recording so that your listeners can go out. But I think, you know, if you need contact information for Dr. Stull, she's wonderful. She's on sabbatical right now, but Carolyn is the expert in animal welfare and equine welfare, and she teaches her class at UC Davis about this issue, and she would be the best person to address this.
Okay.
Cool. We would love to see that for sure.
And she's also an outside member of the Rutgers Equine Science Center, so we tap into Carolyn all the time.
Well, perfect. Well, your website is esc.rutgers.edu, and you've got Facebook page. Just search Rutgers Equine Science Center. And Dr. Malinowski, as always, it is such a pleasure having you on. We learned so much, and now I'm going to have to get a whole other brand of feed, and I'm just like, I don't have enough.
I think you can get through the strategy, Jamie, and then switch to, you know, a senior product.
Sounds good.
And that,
so hey,
and the baby Luke's going, yes, let's go shopping. That's
yeah. Sorry, you guys.
Well,
a good time.
Well, Dr. Malinowski,
thank you.
Have happy holidays to both of you. I look forward to visiting with you soon, and good health to all of our horses.
Merry Christmas, sister.
Always learn so much in that segment. Well, let's hear from one of our auditors right now.
Hi, this is Gina Moronic from Wisconsin, and I am an official Horse Radio Network auditor, something I'm really proud to do and to be a part of in a small way because it's something that I get a lot of information from. The Horse Radio Network And the convenience of the downloadable podcasts means that I can improve my horsemanship skills, my riding skills, or just really enjoy listening to friendly, informative programming whenever I'm driving to work or working on chores or at the barn even. So I hope you find it as enjoyable as I do. If you do, go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the banner to become a Horse Radio Network auditor. For as little as a dollar a month, you can be involved in this great thing, too, and keep it going. Thanks.
And we thank all of our auditors for continuing their support of the Horse Radio Network. Well, we have something different for you today instead of a song. And that is, this is from our friends at todayifoundout.com. They do a podcast called the Daily Knowledge Podcast. It's the host of that podcast is Simon Whistler. He's from Great Britain. And we had a great time, had him on the Stable Scoop radio show a while back just for fun. And we had a good time with him. And they, I've been chatting with him ever since. And we love these guys. Jennifer and I absolutely love listening to the Daily Knowledge Podcast. And I thought instead of playing a song today, I would play you one of their podcasts, about 5 minutes long. And this one is on driving on the right versus the left. And it'll give you a good idea of what the Daily Knowledge Podcast is all about. But this one also involves horses, which is why we thought we would share it with you. If you want to listen to their podcast, it's the Daily Knowledge Podcast on iTunes. You can search for it there, or you can go to todayifoundout.com, which is a terrific website as well. We thank them for letting us share their podcast with them, and we'll be back with more news and fun here on the show in just a few minutes.
You are listening to the Today I Found Out podcast, where each weekday we provide an interesting story that is going to feed your brain. You can read more great articles like this by going to todayifoundout.com. Hello and welcome to episode number 293 of the Daily Knowledge Podcast from todayifoundout.com. In the episode today, we're looking at why some countries drive on the left while others drive on the right. There isn't a bonus fact in today's episode, so let's just get right on with the show. Have you ever wondered why some countries drive on the left and others on the right? Well, wonder no more. The origin of this practice varies based on the time period and the country, but primarily throughout history, people used the keep left rule. Only until very recently did the world predominantly switch to keep right. The first real archaeological evidence of a keep left or keep right type rule for a road originates in the Roman Empire, which shouldn't be surprising as they built a lot of massive, well-trafficked roads spanning Europe and thus would have needed to establish certain rules governing how people were to interact on the roads. So, which side did the Romans use? Archaeological evidence suggests it was common for the Romans to drive on the left side of the road. One confirmation of this was discovered in 1998, where a Roman quarry in Swindon, England, had grooves in the road going away from the quarry on the left side that were significantly deeper than those on the right, due to the added weight of the stone. It is not precisely known why they would have chosen this side, but it is probably similar to one of the main reasons this practice continued into the Middle Ages. During the Middle Ages, the roads weren't always very safe for travellers. Meeting people coming the other way on the road was something best done defensively. From this, many historians believe the keep left rule was adopted because, on a horse, if you were right-handed and you met some unsavoury company on the road, you could draw your weapon, typically attached to your left side, with your right hand, and bring it to bear quickly against the person who is going the opposite way of you on your right, all the while controlling the reins with your left hand. Then, of course, if you happened to meet a friend on the road, you could more easily offer your right hand in greeting without needing to reach across your body when on horseback. Back then, people on horseback typically ruled the road, so everybody else followed suit. This keep left rule was so common that in 1300 AD, Pope Boniface VIII decreed that all pilgrims headed to Rome from wherever they were coming from should abide by the keep left rule of the road along their journey. This held across most of the Western world until the late 1700s. The switch to the keep right rule occurred in the 18th century when teamsters in the United States would drive large wagons with a team of horses, as the name implies. These wagons tended to dominate the streets and forced everybody else to abide by the rule of the road the teamsters were using. Very importantly, in many of those old, large American wagons, they did not include a seat on the wagon for the driver. Rather, the driver would typically sit on the rear leftmost horse when the driver was right-handed. This allowed him to easily drive a whole team of horses with a lash in his right hand.
This forced the issue of having oncoming traffic on your left side, as the drivers would want to make sure that no part of their team or wagon collided with oncoming traffic. When sitting on the rear leftmost horse, this was much easier to do when using a keep right rule of the road. Gradually, this system spread so that by the late 18th century, the first laws concerning this in the United States were passed, starting in 1792 in Pennsylvania, where the rule of the road was now officially a keep right rule. This quickly spread throughout the United States and Canada. So how did this spread through Europe? It started with France. The reason why the French switched to a keep right rule instead of the traditional keep left rule aren't completely clear. Some say it is because the French revolutionists didn't want anything to do with something a pope had decreed. Others say it was because they didn't want to use the same rule of the road the English used. Still others say it was entirely Napoleon's doing. The reasons why he may have done this, if that is the case, are even more a matter of pure speculation. Whatever the real reason, France switched to the keep right system. Napoleon spread this system throughout the countries he conquered. Even after he was defeated, most of the countries he had conquered chose to continue with the keep right system. The most important of these countries, as far as eventually further spreading the keep right system, was Germany. Fast forward to the 20th century, as Germany conquered countries in Europe, they forced their keep right system onto those countries. England never adopted this method, primarily because massive wagons, as became common in the United States, didn't work well on narrow streets, which were common in London and other major English cities. England was also never conquered by Napoleon or later Germany. Thus, they kept the classic keep left rule of the road that had endured for hundreds of years before. By 1756, this keep left rule was made an official law in Britain, originally referring to protocols when travelling over the London Bridge. As the British Empire expanded, this keep-left rule, as a law, also spread somewhat. This hasn't endured in most of the former British-ruled countries, primarily thanks to Germany and the growing popularity of the keep-right system. There are still a few holdouts, though, probably the largest of which, by population, is India. Although, if you've ever driven in most regions of India, you'll know that any supposed rules of the road are more just extremely loosely followed guidelines. You just listened to an episode of the Today I Found Out Daily podcast. Tune in every weekday for another great episode, or find more articles at todayifoundout.com.
I'd like to thank Simon Whistler and the gang over there for allowing us to play that. I hope you learned something, and every one of their podcasts is like that. It's very short, and you learn about all different random things. It's a lot of fun if you're on a trip just to load a bunch of them up. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. I'm Glenn DeGeek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. And we have for you coming up just a bunch of different random fun news that we found, and that's brought to you today by EquityMFG.com, our favorite manure forks, whether it's the flexing fork or the shaking fork. It's a perfect holiday gift. If you're stuck as to what to get somebody that you know that's into horses and has to clean stalls or fields, then I'll give you the rule. If they clean less than three stalls and they have to clean the fields outside, you clean the paddocks or whatever, then you're going to want the flexing fork. $70 will be the best gift you ever gave them in your life. You just head over to EquityMFG.com and get your order in today. I know they're furiously packing bunches of orders. And then if they clean more than three stalls a day, or they're a professional stall cleaner, or you know they have 20 stalls in the barn or whatever it is, then you want to get them the shaken fork. It's a little more expensive, but they will thank you every day next year. They will remember who gave it to them, and this is going to be the best gift they ever got. It is the shaken fork. It's the one that has the mechanism built in that actually shakes the head for you. You pull the trigger, and it does half the work for you and saves about half the bedding as well. So you'll find them both at EquityMFG.com. Hop on over there today and get your orders in. I would say you probably have another week and a half at the most to get those orders in. So just do it today. Don't put it off any longer. We love them. All the hosts on the Horse Radio Network use them. You heard us talk about them. It's time to just go buy one now, even if you have to buy it for yourself for Christmas. That works too.
Yeah. Just get it. Just go do it.
Well, I got to tell you that Jamie and I, you know, we're not, you know, we come up with ideas and we sometimes think they're good ideas. But the problem that we have is follow through and actually doing anything about them. You know, we'll talk about the idea and then it'll be like, oh, well, that requires work. Let's you do it or you do it or nobody does it. Right. Well, this guy, you know, this guy decided to do, and we talked about it about a month and a half ago, I think, decided that he came up with this idea and that it would be kind of funny to just post this online, see what happens. It was actually a marketing experiment that he was doing for a company. And he said, I bet if I put up on there a website, and he called it SHIT Express, he said, if I put that up there, I bet you I could sell poop. People will buy anything, even horse poop. So he, as a joke in a marketing experiment, put SHITExpress.com up there on the website. And in the first month, Jamie, he has sold $10,000 worth.
You've got to be kidding me.
What is wrong with us? We have been shoveling this for years. And, you know, if I'd come to you and said, let's sell poop, let's sell Horse Radio Network poop, special poop, you could pick the host that it comes from, right? You know, you would have said I was crazy and nobody'd buy it. He sold $10,000 worth in the first month. So much so that he had no plan. He put this up kind of as an experiment and a joke. Well, then all these orders started coming in and all this publicity started getting. He had to go find a farm. He just drove around until he found a horse farm and asked if he could have their poop. And started collecting their poop, had to figure out a way to ship it, then had to figure out if it was legal to ship, and then had to figure out how to wrap it and do all this stuff. He finally got it done. He has now shipped poop to 36 different countries.
That's insane. Like, and is it just the joke of like sending a pile of horse crap to your enemy,
yes.
Or is this yes. like?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
How does one package, like when they say, is there anything breakable or fragile or, you know, you just get it insured when you're like, do you say, oh, no, it's a pile of poop I'm sending to Indonesia? Like, what's the customs?
Is poop technically hazardous material? I don't know.
Yes, I don't know. Probably not, you know, probably not.
Well, you know what we need to do is we need to get this person on the show. Jennifer, I have questions.
Yeah, I do too. He apparently didn't have any. Even when he started, there was like no plan because he didn't think anybody would actually buy it. You know, it was kind of an experiment. But, and he sold $10,000 worth taking bitcoins, which nobody owns except geeks that I know about. They're kind of an internet currency. He had to start taking PayPal because so many people were requesting that didn't have bitcoins like you and I were requesting to be able to buy this stuff, and he finally started taking PayPal because he had no choice. So there you go.
That's crazy. No, that guy is smart. And there's another person. I don't know who this person is, but somebody has invented something for horses. I didn't know horses needed, and I, along with the Chronicle of the Horse staff blogger Molly Sorge, also did not know that it was something that people have. So apparently, Grand Prix show jumping stallions have trouble with their stallion parts.
Packages
that most horses, obviously, that don't have these things don't have problems with. So somebody has invented a jock strap for horses. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Yeah. So there is a chick named, let's see.
Is it white?
Katharina Offal.
We're moving into TMI territory, Glenn. We really are.
Yeah.
All jock straps are white.
Yeah, no, I don't know. The horse's name is Quebracho Simili, and he had straps hooking around his hind legs and attaching to the back of the saddle. So the blogger was interested, found the website, contacted her, and basically she wrote back. She's like, the strap he wears is special made for stallions. It's elastic and washable. Quebracho has very big testicles, and when jumping, they are quite disturbing to him and make him feel uncomfortable. So his former rider used the strap, so when she took over the ride, she started using it too. She finds it very helpful. Apparently, this is a problem with people that show jump stallion and also standardbred racehorses. So we have standardbred racehorse listeners, and I am interested to know, have you guys ever heard of stallion jock straps?
Boy, that's a new one on me. And how exactly do you find where to buy one of those?
Well,
do
I want to tell you.
No.
I just looked up Equine Jockstrap, and there's some interesting stuff here.
Bad idea.
Don't Google that.
We do not recommend
don't
that.
Don't Google that.
So DaveWilsonHarness.com is where the blogger said, and they are, this is a European company, so it's 36 pounds, and it looks like, it almost looks like a thong. Like, it's got like a triangle shape, which I'm assuming is the cup, and then it attaches around to the saddle and goes, I think, to the girth, too. It's crazy. I'm going to post that on our Facebook page. I have to let everybody know that this is a problem, apparently.
Huh. Oh, and do not look up stallion jock straps and go to the images section of Google. That doesn't work either.
Yeah.
Let's just say this lady that did the article, she had some interesting research.
Stallion jock straps. And don't Google anything related to this, because there's some weird people on the internet that it's just disturbing and bizarre, and just don't do it. I'm going to post the link so you can see. It's called Stallion Support.
Well, did you see what's been making the way around Facebook right now is that the sheep in the Christmas sweater in Omaha, Nebraska, that they found wandering around the streets? Apparently in Omaha over the weekend, they found this sheep who is wearing a Christmas sweater, apparently just wandering around the streets. Well, someone spotted the sheep in the Christmas sweater and called animal control, and now this sheep is at the Nebraska Humane Society waiting for its owner to come back and claim him. So they said, if you're missing a sheep that enjoys wearing Christmas sweaters, he's here at the Nebraska Humane Society waiting for you to come get him.
Well, that is the most random story I've ever heard.
There's pictures all over Facebook now of this sheep in the Christmas sweater. So...
That is crazy. That is so funny. I got to tell you, there's a story about a racehorse that we've never talked about and I've never even really heard of, but the tagline of the story caught my attention. Apparently, there's a race at Laurel Park that it's been going on for a long time, and it's called the Jennings Handicap. So I had to click on to learn about what the Jennings Handicap is, and I was hoping, Glenn, that maybe you could do
one
of those.
Another one named after you. That's
I know.
Ideal. Yeah.
I need a history lesson to see if it's actually named after me. But then I read about the horse that won the Jennings Handicap, and apparently has won the Jennings Handicap it was the fourth time that this horse has won the Jennings Handicap, and his name is 8 Too Fast. To Catch, all like squished together, 8 Too Fast to Catch, which is, if you say it quickly, it's a really bad name. Like, anybody can catch me. Ain't Too Fast to Catch. But it's 8, like the letter, the number 8, and then Too Fast to Catch. Anyway, so this horse apparently won this race the fourth year in a row, and the owners decided to retire him after this handicap and to see kind of how he would do. And then he soared, apparently that took him past the $1 million mark in purse earnings. You know, he's been a lower level graded stakes horse and a lot of allowance races. But this horse, 8 Too Fast to Catch, won for the fourth year in a row, collected his 12th stakes victory. He's a gelding. So he is going to retire to the trainer's family's house, where his wife and daughter are going to train him to be an event horse. How cool is that?
Oh, cool. That's very cool.
Just random reading stories off the blood horse, and that name caught my eye, and then I started reading the story. And so 8 Too Fast to Catch is going to have a winner's circle retirement ceremony at Laurel Park next Saturday, and then he's going to go to the Montgomery County Farm to start his new career, and he's going to be turned out for a couple months, and the trainer says, when the weather starts to break, my wife, Rumsey, and my daughter, Ryan, will start working with him in the round pen and teach him the basics for his next career as an event horse. So I don't have to keep an eye on him.
Here's the story. That race was named in the honor of William Jennings Sr. He was one of Maryland's all-time great horsemen. He had the Glengar Farm, which was located near Pimlico Racecourse and in Baltimore. and he achieved national prominence in the late 19th century, and among his good horses was a Preakness winner. And he became a he went on to be in the Hall of Fame for owners. And that's how he came to prominence.
I wonder if I'm now related to him by marriage, because William is a family name, being that my husband is Chad William and my son is Lucas William. So this guy could be kin.
That's
wow.
True. He very well could be. Yes, he could be an ancestor.
Awesome.
Ancestry.com, here you come.
Yeah, I'm not paying for that. Okay.
By the way,
I posted a picture.
Go to Facebook and look at Horses in the Morning. I posted a picture of the sheep in the sweater that was lost.
That's got to be easy to find the owner of a sheep with sweater.
Sheep wearing a wool sweater. Hey, I have a story for you. Let's see if we can one-up each other here today. This one's out of Israel, and I'll just read part of it because it's bizarre. Three teenagers suspected of cruising the streets of Beersheba while wearing highly disfigured plastic horse head masks were arrested by police on Tuesday after local children reported that the phony equines had followed them home from the school and attempted to scare them senseless. The teenagers, who referred to themselves on social media as the Angry Horse Group, now I love this next line, were detained following an intensive undercover investigation on suspicion of indecent behavior in a public space. Okay, how intensive was the undercover investigation when they're walking around the streets in horse masks? I think they'd probably be easy to find, don't you? They're probably right out there.
Now,
yeah.
I started wondering all of this, too, until you realize where this story came from, Glenn. Do you see where this story came from?
It's out of Israel.
Israel.
Yeah, it's out of Israel.
Yeah.
Yep.
So... you said they were cruising the streets of Beersheba. I was like, I don't know what that is, but I want to go. I want to go to Beersheba.
Yes, immediately upon receiving the complaints, we launched an operation to detect the suspects who cast terror and fear on the children who were walking by.
<That's>
Do you think
so
they
dramatic.
Had nothing else to report in this newspaper? There was nothing going on that day.
That's so funny. My final story for the day is that there's good news for animal lovers everywhere, and it is that all animals officially all animals. Yeah, he's cheering. Okay, take the phone. Go ahead. Bye bye. All animals now officially go to heaven, Glenn. Did you know that?
You know, I saw that story about the Pope, right?
Yeah, Pope Francis has declared that all animals go to heaven during his weekly audience in St. Peter's Square. And he made the remarks after he received two donkeys as early Christmas presents. And apparently he was... comforting a child who was mourning the death of his dogs, and he said to the child, one day we will see our animals again in eternity, blah, blah, blah. So at any rate, apparently the last pope was like, no, they don't go to heaven, whatever, they're dead. Pope Benedict said that animals are, quote, not called to the eternal life. So this pope is like, screw you, I'm going to one-up you. Horses go to heaven. I don't think he really said that, but.
Well, donkeys do anyway, right?
His donkeys do. And then he goes on to say that his mom gave him donkey milk when he was growing up because they didn't have enough milk for him. So anyway, very bizarre. You never know all these things that come out about the Pope and things that he says, but people seem to really like this Pope. I'm not Catholic or anything, but I enjoy reading about it.
You know, I grew up Catholic. I think they were lying to us all along because I grew up Catholic, and we used to have the blessing of the animals. And as a matter of fact, that's just happened, I think. So they have the blessing of the animals at all Catholic churches do this, and you can bring your animal, and the priest will bless them and sprinkle some holy water on them. And our priest always told us when we were little kids that animals went to heaven. So either he was lying or he just wanted to make us all happy. I don't know which. But yeah, I mean, how do you tell a little kid that the animal's not going to heaven, right?
I know. That's what I was thinking, like, this is news. And then I realized that the last pope was like, yeah, no, they don't go to heaven. They're dead. Your dog is dead.
He was trying. He's a grumpy pope. Yeah. And it looks like other people have used the stallion jockstraps, because one of our listeners, Alex Smith, said we actually bought one for our stallion for endurance rides. Well, you know, that kind of makes sense not to have them all down there shaking around for 100 miles. You know?
Chafing.
Wear them out. Something we, you know, it never occurred to me because I've never really owned a stallion, so I guess we don't know what problems stallions have, right?
I never really thought about it. So what about racehorses? How come we don't see that? Like, every single racehorse seems like is intact. Huh. I just get more questions with stories like this.
And you know what? If they would, you know, I have questions too. Like, if you did put one of those down there, it was a little tight, would they run faster?
Ah! Or they would talk higher. They would sing higher, Glenn.
Just
I'm not familiar with, you know, how all those mail parks work. Oh, I mean, gosh. I still want some dude to answer a question about what happens to those things when a man is riding a horse in an English saddle. I don't get it. Where do they go? I have questions. Sorry.
Well, Jennifer's going to tell us what is coming up for Really Bad Ads prizes on Friday. And I think we have two really bad ads left this year. So we want you to get your ads in. And we have great prizes. Jennifer's going to tell us about them now.
Prizes this week are provided by HorseGroomingSolutions.com. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than the Horse Grooming Solutions brands that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at HorseGroomingSolutions.com. And by the way, the founder of HorseGroomingSolutions.com did a couple of tips for us over on Horse Tip Daily. So if you go over there and hit the search bar and just type in Horse Grooming Solutions, you'll find those. And also providing prizes this week, Equiflex Sleeve. The Equiflex Sleeve is a proprietary blend of multi-tensioned fibers infused with antimicrobial technology designed to act as a compression sleeve and therapeutic joint support for your horses. The Equiflex sleeves takes the place of traditional bandage wraps and can be worn for longer periods of time than traditional ones. Unlike traditional wraps, the sleeve allows heat to dissipate and does not immobilize the joints and still remains in position as the swelling decreases. Because Equiflex sleeve has no adjustable straps or fasteners, the element of human error in application is removed. Yay! The sleeve comes in 7 different sizes for front and hind legs, and it's made right here in America. And you can find Equiflex sleeves at your local tack stores, or you can visit them online at flexsleeve.com.
Very good.
We got to get our ads in, you guys. Come on, seriously. We need some new people. We keep giving the same prizes to the same people. They're getting tired of it. Let's go, people. Get your stuff in. I found one, Glenn. Actually, the Retired Racehorse Project. They have their classified ads, and don't ask me why I was shopping. But it's just, you know, I like to do that. And I go on, and the first ad that I clicked on was because it said, this horse easily jumps 6 feet. And I was like, what? And I looked at the picture, and it's of a horse jumping a crossrail. So basically what it says to me is that this horse jumps out of its pasture. And somebody, you know.
That's funny. Hey, we need some help too, don't we, Jamie?
Well, yeah.
We do.
That was your cue to.
That was my cue to tell people that we need holiday wishes.
Yes. See, that was
okay.
You
sorry.
Were supposed to jump in.
I was
trying
bad.
To give you
okay.
A smooth transition, like radio professionals. And what do you do? You
know,
screw it up.
I have a child. Do real radio professionals have a year and a half year old child screaming into the microphone? I don't think so. He just grabbed my cell phone and ran away. So if you receive a call from my child this morning, that's a hang up call. It's from him. So anyway, we need holiday wishes, you guys. We love to play y'all on the radio and play any sort of singing or stories or just well wishes or what do you want from Santa Claus, whatever. Give us a call and leave a voicemail. Glenn, tell them what that phone number is, because I don't know it.
It is 859-951-2022, 859-951-2022. Or several people have sent us, including Mona yesterday, sent a singing one. You know, it doesn't have to be singing. It can just be wishing your horse a Merry Christmas. But you can do it on your phone. Every phone, smartphone now has a voice recorder built in. And it's very simple. Hey, Jamie's even figured out how to do this. They do interviews. I mean, Jamie can figure it out. You can figure it out. You can do that and just email it to me. You can email it right off your phone, right, Jamie? Right off.
You can
email it directly to me.
You hit that little thing and you talk into it, and then you hit end, and you just—I mean, there's a button right there. If you have an iPhone, it's super easy. So that's how I send Glenn any interviews or anything. I'm like, whatever. I don't want to talk to you. I'll just talk into my thing and email it to you.
Yeah, that's it. And it works very well. We've had a couple people do that already. Or you can call the voicemail line and leave it there. We would love, love, love for you to do that. We played a couple of them on Monday's show that came in last year, including Lisa Marie Kelly, who will be on next week's Driving Radio show. So we had a bunch of different ones that came in last year, but we need more. We need more. We'll be playing them next week on the show, so get them in by Friday. Do it now. I just posted the information on our Facebook page as well.
Less Glenn and Jamie have to talk.
That's
Amen.
Right. See, that's the idea. It's a week before Christmas. We don't want to talk at all. Now, I will say that tomorrow is a first because Mary Kitzmiller, the excellent horsewoman in trainer, is going to be on for co-hosting her first monthly episode. It's the Mary Kitzmiller Training Hour, and she is going to be having guests, and they're going to be talking horse training and colt starting and filly starting, too. I keep telling her that's very it's not racist. What's the word when it's
sexist.
Gender? Sexist. I keep telling her it's very sexist that they say colt starting, because it's like nobody ever starts the fillies. What about them?
Those are the people that call them filly colts. I got me this filly colt.
You probably see that in Craigslist too.
Oh,
but
yeah.
She'll be here tomorrow for her first debut, and I know that she has some great guests lined up, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. So join us then. Jamie will be back on Friday for Really Bad Ads. That's it for today.
Woo! Everybody have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld, ride your horse. Enjoy that beautiful weather that you have if you're living in Phoenix or Florida.
Oh, it's up to 43.